It is certainly a joy for me to be able to come tonight and to worship our living Lord and soon coming Lord with you tonight. Thank you for loving the Lord and loving your church and being faithful tonight to this opportunity to worship and fellowship together. It's been quite a unique time for all of us, as you don't need to be reminded of that. I never thought I'd hear social distancing quite as much as I've heard it. And I don't know, I'm sort of like Mark, I hope that this is not a new normal for us. But how many of you thank God you can open your Bible and read, "Draw near unto God, and he will draw near unto you." Can't social distance, my Heavenly Father. He's as close as the very breath that I breathe, even nigh and near me in my confession. So thank you for being here tonight. You know, I want to make sure that I never come across that I'm better than someone who has never chosen to be a follower of Christ. I'm very thankful for the faith that God gave me to become a follower of Christ and to live the life of faith. And I am thankful tonight for the testimony. I'm just glad I'm saved tonight. I'm glad that I'm a follower of Christ. But I am not better than anyone who has never done that yet. And I think one of the things that turns the unbelievers off more than anything is sometimes we as believers have a little attitude that we are better than somebody who's never followed Christ. Nothing could be farther from the truth. If it were not for the saving grace of God, we'd be just like that. It's just because of God's grace that he's gifted us with faith to say yes to the grace act of Calvary. But having said that, without apology, I am not better, but I'm better off. I'm going to say that one more time. I don't think the PA system's working. I'm not better, but I'm better off. You see, as a follower of Christ, I have a lot of issues that every mother's child has to face. And I have discovered that in Christ, I have an answer for my sin, for my sorrow, for death, for temptation. There's so many issues of life that I thank God that Jesus is God's answer. And I am not better than they are, but I don't apologize. I'm better off. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, tonight, and turn with me to Mark chapter 4, the Gospel of Mark chapter number 4. And I want to talk to you a little bit tonight and hope to encourage you and those of you who may be worshiping with us and viewing with us by live stream on the storms of life. I want to talk to you about the storms of life. We are all familiar with storms physically when the winds are howling at high speeds and the thunder and the lightning and all the devastation. But I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about the storms of life. Mark chapter number 4, look with me beginning in verse 35. "And the same day, when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that now it was full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Chapter 5. And they came over unto the other side of the sea. I have discovered in my almost 70 years of living some things about the storms of life that I just want to use to help you get your minds in gear with me as I tell you a little bit about the storms of life and then what to do when you find yourself in one of the storms of life. Some years ago, when I was traveling and flying a lot out of Chattanooga, Tennessee, I boarded a jet to fly to a revival meeting, and in a few moments, a gentleman sat down beside me that I had known from a distance, heard preach many times, and you will know the name, many of you will. It was Wild Bill Stafford, and he lived in Chattanooga, and we began a relationship and a friendship for many years until the Lord called him home. Bill Stafford had a saying that many preachers, including myself, have adopted. But he was the first one who I ever heard say these words. You're either in a storm, you're coming out of a storm, or you're just before going into a storm. No mother's child is exempt from the storms of life. And one of the things that I've discovered about those storms of life is that they come very suddenly and unexpectedly. They come when you are right in your comfort zone, when you've got all the T's crossed and the I's dotted and things are just going just like you've planned. And before you know it, a telephone rings and your whole world changes from one phone call. Or things are going so smoothly, and all of a sudden out in your front yard comes two policemen. Or things are going so well, and the next thing you know, two military men are coming into your yard. I've discovered that the storms of life come suddenly and swiftly and unexpectedly. But not only that, I've discovered that sometimes they're very severe. Some storms are not so difficult. Some storms are storms that we seem to be able to get through. But if you've lived long enough, you know that sometimes the storms of life can be extremely severe. I want you to notice verse number 37 of the fourth chapter of Mark. And there arose a great storm. Grand storm, a huge storm, no little tempest in a teapot type of thing. It was a storm that was overwhelming to them. It was severe to them. And sometimes the storms of life can come to us in the storm of a divorce or the storm of a disease or the storm of a departure or the storm of death. The water was filling the boat. So the storms of life can come suddenly when you least expect it. And sometimes the storms of life can be severe and very overwhelming. They're just bigger than we are able to stand. And how many of you thank God tonight that there may be something God will allow us to go through that's bigger than we are, but it's not bigger than He is. And then the storms of life not only come suddenly and unexpectedly, and they sometimes are severe and very overwhelming and bigger and greater than our own strength. But thirdly, I've discovered that the storms of life, and listen carefully now, sometimes they can even cause you to question whether or not the Lord Jesus really loves you and whether He really cares about you. I want you to notice what these disciples said in verse 38. Now watch this carefully. Jesus was in this boat in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him, and they say unto Him, Master, carest Thou not that we perish? What a question to ask the Son of God. Jesus, do You really care? Do You really love us? Do you really know the heartache of my heart? Do you really know the burden of my soul? Do you really know the weariness of my spirit? Is anybody under the influence of my voice tonight that has ever one time said, does anybody really know what I'm going through? Does anybody really care about what I'm going through? These disciples came to a moment in this storm when they questioned whether or not Jesus really cared about them. Let me remind you of a song I grew up with. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long, does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart aches until it nearly breaks. Is it aught to him? Does he care? And I can remember as a little Baptist boy, those sweet people singing, oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. He's touched with the grief of my heart. And when the days grow weary and the long night dreary, I know my Savior cares. How many of you thank God tonight? He does care for us, even in those overwhelming, unexpectedly storms that come to all of us. But now let me just say to you tonight, not only some things about the storm, but what do you do when you find yourself in one of these overwhelming, sudden, comfort-changing, life-changing kinds of storms, these great winds and these great storms that even may cause you to question if Jesus really cares? What do you do when you find yourself in the storm? May I say three things to you very briefly tonight? Number one, you remember the promise of Jesus. You remember the promise of Jesus. Now, I want you to take your Bible and I want you to look very carefully at what Jesus said in verse 35. And the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's a promise of destination. When Jesus said those words, let us pass over to the other side, it did not make any difference from that moment on what the conditions were like. It didn't matter how high the waves got. It didn't matter how strong the winds blew. It did not matter anything about the condition of the boat. We have been given a promise of destination. Let's get in this boat and pass over to the other side. Now look at chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side. What do you do when you find yourself in one of these unexpected, overwhelming, doubting whether Jesus really cares? I tell you, you need to remember the promise of Jesus. Now you would say, Brother Jimmy, they had Jesus there and they had that promise of destination. I wish Jesus would give me a promise of destination as I go through life and I face these kinds of storms. Well, he has, and sometimes we just need to be reminded of how he gave us our promise of destination. Do you remember some words like this? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions, and if this were not so, I would have told you. I go away to prepare a place for you, and since I go away to prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you shall be also. Folks, I want to tell you something tonight. He's given us a promise of destination, and we need to remember the promise. Let me just say it to you like we talked down here in the South. We're headed to the house, amen? And we're going to make it because he said to us, where I am, there you may be also. And it doesn't matter where you are tonight. You would say, Preacher Jimmy, the wind's blowing in my life financially. The thunder is roaring domestically. The lightning is flashing financially. We all know the storms of the culture. We know the storms of racially and politically. But I got news for you. If you are a follower of Christ and you find yourself in these kinds of storms, how many of you thank God tonight we've got a promise of destination, and we're going to the other side. So you remember the promise of the Lord Jesus. And let me just tell you this tonight. A promise is only as good as the person who makes it. And every one of us know what it's like to have politicians on any level to say what they think we need them to say and what they think we want them to say. And just don't keep their word. Can I get a little witness right here tonight? Folks, I'm telling you, this is not a politician making you a promise. This is not your pastor making you a promise. This is not your brother in Christ making you the promise. This is our Lord and Savior who said to those disciples, let's get in this boat and go to the other side. And it was a settled issue, no matter what the conditions, they went to the other side. And I want to tell you tonight that a promise is as good as the person who makes it. And Jesus is the one who said, I'm coming back to get you, and where I am, there you may be also. I just like saying it one more time. We're going to make it to the house. Amen. Number two, not only do you remember the promise of Jesus, but you rest in the presence of Jesus. Now look at it very carefully with me, if you will, in verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, that is, they took Jesus, even as he was in the ship. Now I want you to underline the word in. You say, well, Brother Jimmy, I don't write in my Bible. Well, then right over there in your neighbor's Bible. They probably need it more than you anyway. And they were also with him. Now underline the word with. Do you see any difference in the two little prepositions? You see, in the storms of life, we not only remember the promise of Jesus, we rest in the presence of Jesus. Where was Jesus in this storm? He was in the boat with the disciples. He was present in their boat during this storm. Now, the reason I ask you to do that is because right under that word, in the ship, the Bible says there were also with him other little ships. Now, when you see the word ships in the King James, please don't think about a cruise liner. We're talking about fishing boats, okay? Question. What happened to all those other little boats? I've got the idea that they didn't make it. I've got the idea that this storm overwhelmed them. But you're sitting there tonight saying, but Brother Jimmy, they're with him. Can I tell you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of people in our churches today who are with Jesus, but Jesus is not in their life. You see, you can be with Jesus and go to hell. What makes the difference in a person's life is not that they know something about Jesus or they're with Jesus in some kind of doctrinal position or some kind of biblical interpretation or however you want to describe. There's a world of difference of being with Jesus and Jesus being in the boat of your life. And the reason why they made it to the other side wasn't because they were with Jesus. It was because Jesus was in their boat. How many of you thank God tonight for the authoritative, abiding presence of the Lord Jesus Christ? Did you hear the song? He's in the midst of the storm. You can be Paul and Silas in jail, or you can be who you are tonight, wherever you are. And I want to tell you, you are never going to be alone in any storm if Jesus is in your life.
And so you ought to tonight remember these storms come when you least expect it. They can be overwhelming to you. They can cause you to question whether Jesus cares. What do you do, Preacher Jimmy? I tell you what you do. You remember the promise of Jesus and you rest in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I may have referred to this before, Mark, and if I have, you just forgive me. I'll be 70 years old in 3 months. Now, that probably shocks a lot of you because I look like I'm about 40, but honest to God, I'll be 70 years old in 3 months. And I have, you know, we say senior moments. Have any of you lived long enough to know that they are senior minutes also and not just senior moments? I mean, they're senior seconds sometimes. And so if I've said this, you just understand he's getting old. There's a little green Broadman hymn book I grew up with. And in that book is number 400. And over at the Hallandville Baptist Church where I was saved as a little 7-year-old boy is where I first heard the saints of God sing. I've seen the lightning flashing and I've heard the thunder roll. I've felt sin's breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I heard the voice of Jesus telling me still to fight on, for he promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. COVID has separated humanity, but it has not separated the child of God from the intimate presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you do when you're in a storm? I'll tell you, you remember the promise of Jesus and you rest in the presence of Jesus. Number three, and finally, what do? You rely on the power of Jesus. Look at verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, now he's already spoke to the sea, and the sea obeyed its creator. But then in verse 40, he speaks to his disciples. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now, there are two words I want you to see. Fear and faith. Dotted all across this country, and one of them is in our yard in West Bergen Place, is a cross lit up. And you know that the basis of this is that we are testifying it's faith over fear. I cannot hardly believe this and ought to believe it with what all's going on. But just the other day, Barbara and I were sharing some Facebook information. And right in the CSRA, and I'm not going to announce the location, but right here in the CSRA, a homeowner received information from the head of the Homeowners Association that you have to take down your fear, your faith over fear cross. It's being offensive. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something tonight. I am not immune to the storms of life, and neither are any of you who are listening to me tonight. And you're either going to face those storms in fear or in faith. And I've chosen tonight to rely and put my faith and my trust in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The storm is raging, and the power of Jesus Christ's spoken word is simply, hush, be still, be muzzled, lay down. And they obeyed. And then he turned to our brothers, and he would turn to us tonight and say, why are you so fearful? Where is your faith. How is it that you have no faith?
As I told you a moment ago, Bill Stafford made famous, you're either in a storm, you're coming out of a storm, or you're heading into a storm. And here's your choices. You can face them in fear, or you can face them in faith. And you would say, Preacher Jimmy, how do I know if I'm facing it in fear or if I'm facing it in faith? Now listen very carefully. It's very easy for you to have a personal inventory about how you're facing the storms of life. If you're facing them in fear, all you're going to be talking about is the winds and the waves and the water and the storm. But if you're facing them in faith, all you'll be talking about is the Savior. He has promised me a safe arrival. He has promised never to leave me and never forsake me. And He's greater than any storm I'll ever enter. And when He speaks, there will be calm if I will have faith in He who is Lord over the storm. Okay, preacher, if I put my faith in the Savior and not fear the storm, does that mean the storm will stop? Sure. Guarantee it'll stop. When you get to the other side. When you say, Brother Jimmy, what if my storm is cancer? Or what if my storm is this? Or my storm is that? If I put my faith, does that mean God will... What if God doesn't heal me? He didn't promise to heal you. He promised to get you to the other side. Now, lest you think for a moment that I don't believe in divine healing, we need to settle the issue. My problem is not with divine healing. My problem is with divine healers. There's just one divine healer, and that's my Heavenly Father. And He can heal instantly on the way to heaven before I get to heaven. He has power to heal now, but if He doesn't heal me on this side, He's going to heal me when I get to the house. Amen. He didn't promise to heal me all the time, all the way. He just promised that I would arrive safely. And you know what I know? I'll never be alone in my storm. I won't be alone in my cancer. I won't be alone in the divorce. I won't be alone in the valley of the shadow of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, will I face it? Yes. Will I feel it? Yes. But I won't fear it because Thou art with me, and Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. He will be with you in the storms of life. You can't educate them away. You can't have enough money to buy them away. You can't exercise enough to fight them away. You're either going to face them in faith, looking at the Savior, or fear, looking at the storm. Well, preacher, what's the difference? Listen very carefully. Are you with Him, or is He in your life? If He's in the ship of your life, you hang on to His promise, hang on to His presence, and hang on to His power, and I'll promise you, you'll make it to the house. Father, Your word is so precious. Your word is so accurate. Your word is so authoritative. Your word is so applicable to whatever may be going on. Even in the 21st century, it's still applicable. And it's still accurate. And it's still authoritative. It's still my light. And still my lamp. And I thank You for the portion of the Word of God You've allowed me to share to touch these precious people's lives tonight. Lord, I pray that I preached in such a way and taught in such a way that Jesus has been honored, that Your children have been helped. And Lord, what a joy it would be as I hope somebody says yes to Jesus tonight. Lord, thank You for letting us have faith to trust the grace act of Calvary and be a part of the family of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.